This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
You always have something.
FBI surveillance in progress.
Exactly.
I think they have better things to do than watch us.
You know what? Maybe that's all that all this social media stuff is all CIA and FBI and what other alphabet. And they just hide it under all these other names. Maybe that's what's really going on. You know, Zoom, Twitter, Facebook, even, you know, it's all just government now. And they just put it under here and we'll start a new conspiracy theory.
I like it. Get your tinfoil hat. So let's dive down.
Yeah, you're screwed. You've been on a Zoom recording at any given time. They have your data now.
Well, if you die, they could just fake deep you and keep you going.
Yeah.
Well, that would be that would be the next trick. I know there's lots of deep fakes out there, but if there's deep fakes that can start making music or comedy, you know, whatever. But shit, even Target, like they're buying their you know, knowing what people buy, their data is that. The data analytics for that is crazy. I know there's a story where it's like a teenage girl or something started getting advertisements for like diapers and baby stuff. And it's like Target knew she was pregnant before anyone knew she was pregnant.
Wow.
But it was a dad that noticed. It's like, why is she getting this stuff? Oops.
That's so creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Because she's just buying patterns, whatever she was buying or not buying, I guess, maybe, you know, whatever they determined. People who buy this stuff are typically pregnant. Congrats.
Hope you told everybody.
Yeah. Because we are.
Yeah. We're telling the rest of your family that this is a recommended list of things to buy you.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's how a dad found out his daughter was pregnant, basically.
Wow. Did he work for Target or they were sending him stuff?
No, they were sending advertisements to the house.
Okay.
Or something. Like they were still living together, or she was still living there, obviously. And then but he noticed it was like addressed to her kind of thing, which, you know, whatever. You sign up for something, you get
right
whatever. And wait a minute, what?
Oops. That's funny. I tell you.
Or maybe I'd have to look it up. It was a few years ago, but maybe it was something that they were sending advertisements for new baby stuff to the house. And he just started asking why.
Why?
And then it turned out like his daughter was buying stuff that they stitched that together or something. So a lot they can do with just simple data analytics, let alone stuff that Facebook or
right.
All Twitter, Instagram, all those other places would know about you. Google.
So. I'm like pissed off at YouTube lately because I actually went on there and I wanted to like look at something different than normal. And because I've been mostly just listening to music on YouTube, my whole show me feed or whatever of everything was like 50 lines of just music. It was like, you mean none of these channels that I've subscribed to have put out any new YouTube videos? I'm like, it's like every once in a while I'll go in there and I'll clear it. Just let it to start over again.
Yeah.
It's almost like it gets stuck. It's like, no. Or it'll show me stuff from like 2009. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Lots of times they'll show me the same stuff. And it's one thing to want to watch something a couple times, but after a while it's like, I don't need to see this again.
Right.
But you can.
You liked it the second time too.
Yeah.
I keep just going, don't recommend this channel. So if those like crappy things, yeah, I just start knocking them out. Yeah.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, you can click on it. Well,
click on those three dots or something, and
I don't know how to do it on the
It has an option on mobile too. Yeah.
Is it on mobile?
Yeah.
Usually when I'm watching I watch a lot on TV.
Yeah. That which might screw it up. But if you like go over the name or channel and click on it, the three dots right there, it says not interested or don't recommend channel.
Yep. Same thing for mobile.
Interesting. Good to know.
Which
you should usually don't click on them.
Well, do you just watch? Is everything like on YouTube through a controller, or you do it on your TV, or are you doing it through your phone and watching it on TV?
I do a controller on TV.
Okay.
Sometimes I do it on my phone, but it gets laggy.
Yeah. But you should still, I'd have to double check on mine, but I think there should still be an option to say,
well,
don't recommend this shit.
Alex doesn't have that on his Xbox. Because I was trying to show it to him. So Xbox wise, it won't do it.
Maybe they haven't built that out on that app.
Platform, yeah. I don't know how just TV works. I wonder if you could do a menu. It's probably a pain in the ass because I want to send you the
song. I'm sure they probably bury it somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have to. But
anyway, so what do we got?
What are we doing? We're going right into questions and stuff. That's how we're at this week. Usually,
might as well. I mean,
Jason usually has something he wants to.
Balls deep in allergy season, so
you're just dying.
Yeah, you
should go camping.
Are you looking at my eyes right now?
Yeah, they look puffy.
I look like I'm stoned.
Yep. You're not?
No. This would be more comfortable if I was.
Adam, might be a somewhat more entertaining podcast if that were the case too.
I probably wouldn't say a word.
You just be like, would you be Cheech or Chong?
Was Cheech the taller one?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Cheech is the tall one, right?
No. Jimmy? I would totally be Chong.
Where's Cheech?
I don't remember. I thought it's Tommy Chong, right? Cheech Marin?
Cheech Marin's the short one.
Okay. Cheech.
Okay. You're right. Yeah. Now that you say the names, it's easy to get them confused.
It's been a long time since I watched the movie, but I'm pretty sure they don't really say each other's names that much in the movie, do they?
No, not at all.
No,
that's what I thought. I'm like,
no, I mean, it's more along the lines of
what I'm just remembering.
Yeah. Especially in the other movie.
Remembering.
It's like them being in Yellowbeard. Hardly anyone's ever seen that movie, but if you know who Cheech and Chong are from everything else, it's like, but really, it's more like, dude.
Yeah, that's dude.
Yeah. That 70s show showed off.
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 70s show too. Yeah.
Yep. That was Chong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. That's how everybody knows him. They don't really know him from the movies. They know him from that 70s show, where Cheech has been in a lot of other stuff.
He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah. So
and TV shows.
Tommy Chong would pretty much play the same guy in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he couldn't do anything else. Yeah. Even in the 70s show, he just played himself.
Hey, man.
Yeah, totally. It's like Slowpoke Rodriguez.
You know, that's one of those guys, if you wanted to meet, you know, you end up meeting him in person and he comes out and talks to you like in a British accent that's perfect. And you're like, wait, what? Like, no, that's just my persona.
Yeah.
This is really you?
Makes sense anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Pee Wee Herman, right? It's like, there's that persona and then there's, I forget what the guy's name is, but then there's him.
And so, you don't recognize him in anything else he does. as when he's just his normal self. It's like you watch and you'd be like, he looks familiar, but no. Okay. What would a BR presidential administration be like?
We've talked about this or hinted at this
before
in a couple of podcasts, but it was like 2, 3, 4 podcasts ago. We were talking about it at the end, and I said something about having Nate is my having Nate the press be the press secretary. Could you imagine, you know, if we were, if any one of us was, had some, you know, assume one of us was, whether it's Nate's president or CJ's president,
I can do president. I can do Jimmy. I'd put you as president. You'd probably be like the shortest president. I wonder who the shortest president in history has been.
I don't think so.
Is there, I, that's why I'm asking.
Shortest Truman, I thought was short.
U.S. president height.
I know Bill Clinton was really tall for a president.
Well, yeah.
Was he like 6'3"?
Three shortest. James Madison was 5'4". So you got him beat. Let's see. Are they not telling me who the other?
Harrison was 5'6". Van Buren was 5'6".
Lincoln was the tallest at 6'4". Trump was 6'3".
I still
is. I knew Johnson was tall, 6'2". Almost 6'4".
Oh, okay. Go down here. Here we go. 5'4".
Jesus.
So you'd be in the top three for the shortest because you're 5'6", right? Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah, the shortest one would have been the fourth president with James Madison, 5'4". Any of you guys that play trivia, remember that? Who's the shortest president? James Madison. So
1809 to 1817, he was the fourth president.
Yeah. Boy, you got even more information than me. Well, there it is.
That's crazy.
Although the average adult male height was 5'7", you can't even hit the average, Jimmy G.
The fact that George Washington was 6'2 is insane.
Why?
Just because those days people were shorter.
Who says?
History.
Average height.
In America, yes.
Yeah. What's the average height now?
It's like 5'9.
5'9.
Is it up to that?
Yeah, 5'9.
I didn't think it was that tall.
But John Adams, John Quincy Adams, I mean, they were small. Yeah, Washington was.
He was tall.
And they even talk about that in his biography. He was the average height of the U.S. presidents is 5'11" tall.
Wow. That's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some good height.
Yeah. I mean, Washington was a pretty stout, I mean, tall, but he's a pretty, what do I want to say, stout, resilient sort of man, at least according to his biography, anyway.
I was thinking more along the lines that, I mean, even over 6 foot isn't all that common nowadays.
Yeah.
6'6", even though there's a lot of tall people, you gotta compared to the numbers, millions wise.
But it's going back to the actual point, you know, the reason why we wanted to talk about it. I mean, could you imagine what, I suppose, what this really gets to? I mean, certainly there's a, I mean, clearly there's a certain kind of man that even considers running for president and has a legitimate shot. Right. Like, you can't just be a pile of garbage. I mean,
well, that's, you can,
you know what I'm saying?
But
you can't, but my point is, I mean, you have to have something, whether it's as simple or ridiculous as height or money or something, some level of stat. There's got to be something that at least gets you in that club.
Or the history, like like our current one that's in there, and then what's his name? Not Bush. Who was the other one? I'm trying to. Crap, can't think.
That's all right. It'll come to you.
I can picture them, but it's like, yeah, some of the presidents had to work their way. A lot of them have to work their way up through the system. It's not like the average Joe can walk off the street like a Trump and become, even though he's not an average Joe in that sense, but he, on the political side of things.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be.
He wasn't a senator. Player. He wasn't a House. You know, he didn't come up to a House. He was never a governor. Yeah. He was never a political person, really. He supported them all, but he never was one himself until he went to the presidency.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
or you know, a lawyer. And those founding fathers, you know, they were just president, the foundation kind of thing. You know, I think Washington was a logical choice. He commanded the Continental Army and it just sort of, and
well, he could have been king.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so, and he almost didn't want to do, like, he really didn't want to do his second term, but it's one of those, if I don't do this, you know, we could fall apart kind of thing. I mean,
right.
But you know, some of the, and even some of the names, right, of those earlier days, Adams, even John Quincy Adams, John Adams' son, Jefferson, Madison. I mean, they were all present at the foundation. So it's you kind of, I mean, it's baked in to your point, Nate. There's sort of a history, or there's
a certain club of
we
them.
Know you.
Yep.
Kind of thing. We're known quantities in that realm. But, you know, I think we've talked about this on a podcast. I think about this every once in a while. It's like, if I was president, who would I want for chief of staff, or who would I want for my press secretary? Because chief of staff is a very important role in terms of access to the president and sort of, in some ways, setting agenda and some of those sorts of things. And or who would you pick for VP? Or, you know, well,
here's the other thing, you know, how would the administration be like? Let's take it from a different viewpoint of, you know, you get to watch different ones. I'm thinking it of as administration of, okay, let's bring our boys home, secure our borders. Let's in turn, once we do all that, let's beef up our own economy. So what can we do to make our country stronger and more self-supportive? More self, not just self-supportive, self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient, yeah.
So you do that, and then it'd be like, okay, what can we get rid of, you know, to help us out? And, you know, right off the bat, it would be like, okay, all these social programs, let's see how many we can get rid of and still help people, you know? It's like, everyone takes advantage of this. Let's see how much we can get away, you know? At least at the federal level, you know, I don't think a lot of people, it's like you make a comment of, oh, I think we should start downgrading or taking away social programs. Oh, you can't do that. Everything will fall. Well, there's still state and local, which is where it should be, or with the churches where a lot of this stuff, it wouldn't fall apart. It's just the federal money. It would
be different.
It wouldn't be federal going at it where everyone's paying for it. It's like, okay, all you people living out in California, me living here in, well, I picked the wrong state. Somebody living in Missouri ain't paying for someone in freaking California to go live out on a beach and pretend they're homeless.
Yeah,
there's a lot of homeless out there, but some of them are just out there because it's like, it's easy. It's comfortable. The weather's nice. Okay.
They're protected.
Yeah.
Well protected.
So,
And we're seeing some of that. Like, it's what I hear, like, sanctuary cities, and now they're shipping, you know, places like Texas and Arizona are shipping off people who cross the border illegally to sanctuary cities like LA or, you know, New York City, and they can't handle it kind of thing. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. No. That's not, this isn't. And it's like, it's easy to support. Oh, sanctuary cities, let everybody in when you're not the one having to deal with it. The second you're the one dealing with it, all of a sudden it's not in my backyard. And it immigration's it doesn't have to even be immigration. It could be energy policy. It could be anything. It's like, whoa, 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 wait, you want to put a wind farm here? No, 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 no. Oh, you want to put this? Nope, nope, not in my backyard. We want this. Like, and it's, so it's easy to care about something that's 1,000 miles away, but the second it's in your town, like, oh shit. Yeah. I support, you know, all the, you know, I support whatever protests or whatever until they show up in your town. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can we not? Like,
you know. I think that's how our administration would go, though. Just even if I was, what was that question? You know, that's a dumb question. It's been answered 9 times. Next.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same kind of concept. It's like, okay, what agencies do we actually need or don't need? You know, and
or could you imagine like Coop as your, and we've had him on the podcast a couple times, and we need to have him back on the podcast. So Coop, if you're listening, we'll definitely, there's a standing invite for you, but we'll definitely be reaching out to you and invite you on. And maybe we'll even talk about this very thing. But could you imagine Coop as like your press secretary or a secretary of housing and urban development? Or, you know, one of those, the Department of Education or something.
Something. Yep.
Just that dude would come in like a hammer. It's like, fuck off. Next.
Yeah. and have legal precedence behind it. No, not just come off, be like, oh.
But
here's where I'm pulling this from.
Who's gonna challenge him? He's like a bulldog. If you see him, like, he's built like a bulldog. Like, nobody's gonna fuck with him. Like, no, somebody's gonna ask. They're gonna be afraid to even ask a question.
Like, or you'll just stare at him.
How are you doing? Like, the questions will all end up becoming, "How are you doing today, sir? Can we get you anything, sir?"
The whole time he's thinking, man, I think I need to do about 2 more reps when I do curls.
Yeah. That's it. I'm sorry. I was thinking about my workout later. What'd you ask?
Exactly.
I think so you're saying
it's not that important.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you. What are your fucking macros? Or something.
You squat, you little bitch.
Yeah. Go ass to grass. Or you do those sissy squats, fucker. Like, actually, you know, I could see him being chief of staff. He'd make a good chief of staff because he'd be a good bulldog. Like,
well, but
no, you know, can't. He's busy. No, how many people,
he's busy. How many people would be pissed off when we instituted like a PT test to stay in? You know, okay, you want this position? You got to do a PT test and you got to pass
the State Department. Like, you want to be an ambassador? You got to represent. So you better be physically fit.
Yeah. Think about it. Every state or every federal position has to have some kind of physical requirement. Could you imagine passing that? 2/3, what? Probably 80% of them wouldn't be able to pass it. You know, okay, you force all these other people to have standards. Let's give you guys standards and really, you know, instead of the 400 pounder sitting there on an
expensive in a Department of Health.
Yeah. Department of Health. Yeah.
Yeah. Put Coop in charge of that.
Oh, he'll
get wrecked real quick.
Are we just getting Phil?
Phil is the Department of Health then end up abolishing like 80% of that department, and then you're left with the strongest 20% that just goes rechanges the whole pyramid. There's barely like grains are the little point at the and veggies are the point at the top, and it's like protein and
yeah, it's like all of fat, you guys have to be healthy.
Yeah.
oh
yeah, yeah, see that, yeah, Phil Foster, we could. He's been on the podcast, so yeah, he's the Department of Health and Human Services. Well,
Tim Hicks will come in and he'll be Department of Transportation and let him just fix everything.
There you go.
He's seen both sides of it. So, you know, the trucking side, he takes care of his truckers better than most companies. He treats them like owner operator types. So he'd take care of all the truckers, take care of transportation. He'd make those guys happy. And then, yeah. And then along with that, we'll just give him the whole fuel side of things. That way he can keep the economy where, you know, we've got good fuel prices, people, and he likes to travel. So that would be a good guy to take care of the fuel and that. So,
yeah, you could carve that piece out from the Department of Energy and get rid of the rest of the department.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think the only law I'd really want to pass, and this is a goofy one, if I was president, would be like, I don't want a human resources department. They're the most wasted space of, it's like, yeah, no.
You need one person.
I don't even think you need that one person. To file paperwork. Yes, you need the one person to file stuff. Let managers hire their own people for each department, da 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 da. This whole big human resources, and I'm sure there's probably a human. They're the most wasted talent that there is. They cause more problems. I think that's destroyed more corporations as human resources than any other department.
Yeah.
Well, we're just trying to help them out. They let go of so many people that could be qualified. But because you didn't check a box, they'll never be seen.
Yeah. I think, too, with a BR presidential administration, I mean, you know, even the budgeting, right? Everything would be more pragmatic and practical.
Okay, here's a
like,
thought.
You go through the budget and it's like, well, we don't have money for this shit, so I guess we'll cut this and this and that and half of you and most of you. But it would come from a perspective like the argument wouldn't be about, oh, well, we could help so many people. We could do this. Yeah, but we don't have the money for that. And like every average American would relate to that because those are the kitchen table, especially now. Right. Those are all the kitchen table conversations that everyone is having across America. It's like, well, it'd be awesome to have a new like we've got kids and it'd be awesome to have a new house, but okay, well, how are we gonna make that work? Or you know what, all we'll do is we'll just get some 2x4s and drywall and make extra rooms in the basement. They may be the size of a prison cell, but everyone will have their own room. And I know somebody, there's a buddy of mine, there's 6 kids in his family. That's what they did until they could get to a spot where they could buy a bigger house and afford it and all that sort of stuff. So on the plus side, it was like a prison cell. On the flip side, if somebody put their fist through a wall or maybe an entire body through a wall, I know that happened in fighting. Instead of like bitching and getting yelled at or whatever, as soon as it happened, my buddies, him and his brother were horsing around or they got mad at each other. And anyway, they put each other through one of the walls. He's like, as soon as that happened, we stopped fighting. We got saws and started cutting out. We just started doing demo work because we knew we'd be the ones doing it. So we might as well stop fucking fighting and just start rebuilding because hopefully we could have this done by the time Dad gets back.
Probably spare drywall in the corner.
Oh, yeah. They're just extra. So they just, you know, seamed it together, put up a new 2x4 or two or saved the whatever. Anyway, it's a funny story. But, you know, and how many people live like that? Or how many people over the years, not just today, but over the you make do with what you got. Yeah. And I think there'd be, like I said, there'd just be a pragmatic nature and there'd be some snark and sarcasm. And
oh, of course.
Sure.
It couldn't be our regime if there isn't any.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those new Gatling guns that they made recently.
No.
We would definitely have to order some of those for the military. And that would be a full administration road trip.
You could put that on your boys' mount an A10 Warthog Gatling gun on CJ's truck or your boy's S10.
Yeah. I think that would be
Oh, that feels like Mad Max out here.
Don't mind us, we're just having fun.
Yeah, they talk about everybody else going, yeah, you know, they talk about these politicians and stuff that go out and party or go out to these islands. What'd you guys do? We'd
be at the range.
We spent $1 billion in ammo.
Worth it.
You know,
we spent $1 billion at the range. And then we grabbed steaks afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we do.
We were able to budget with all the people that we cut.
Now, here's a theory I've thought of over the years on and off. What would happen, you say, you know, if the U.S. called in all its debts? If the United States called all its debts into other countries, would it actually balance out our sheet, or not necessarily, maybe like 10 years ago sheet, maybe not today sheet, but if they did? Okay, so if you fall out, okay, if we call all our debts in, that means other countries are going to call their debts in. When you start clearing all these debts and stuff, where does it hit the point that everybody's debt's just forgiven? You know, some country somewhere along the line would end up maybe not having money come back to them. But like all the big countries, it's like, okay, if we have all this, or, you know, it'd be like, guess what? How about
this? Make it even better. We just switch everything to crypto.
Yeah.
We say, fuck that. You know, fuck the world banking system. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, it is kind of made up, but I don't know. I don't know if we did that, if it would cover it. I mean, it's what, 30? Our deficit now,
like, trillion
is $30 trillion or something like that.
But we're not the only one with those kind of numbers.
True, but, you know, I don't know.
But what I'm getting at is, how would it balance out if everybody kept doing that to every country? Because even, like, we've borrowed money from China. Well, China's borrowed money from other people. You know, Britain, France, Israel, Syria, freaking
Iran. How do you even pay that back?
What?
How do you even pay $30 trillion back?
Very slowly. And it just keeps compounding. So much of that is compounding.
Could you even imagine interest? like what are you going to use American dollar and just crash the whole market? Yeah. Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any fucking sense, honestly.
The other thought is, back in the day, we're talking like biblical times. So no, not recent history. It was like every 7 years they forgave everyone's debts. All debts were just cleared. And you would start
over. Usury, it's more the charging of interest is more of the sin kind of thing.
You know, so they would pay. It's like, okay, if you didn't have to pay all that interest back.
And, you know, to your point, though, CJ, I mean, that's part of the call it scheme, if you will, but that's part of the trick, right? It's like we keep, I mean, there was a time where the debt probably mattered more, or because we could pay it back and whatever, but now nobody gives a shit. Let's just keep spending our way through it, and we just add imaginary zeros to the it's like going into my checking account. My mom worked for the bank that my checking account is, and I'd always tell her, just add a zero, no one's gonna know. No. Just add a zero to the end before the decimal point, but just at the end, just add a zero every once in a blue moon. You don't even have to do it every year, every month. Just once in a while, just go in and add a zero. Nobody would know, right? Who would really know if one random account just magically now, by the time, you know, she worked there 28 years. So every once in a while, over the course of 20 some odd years, say 25 or 28, however long she ended up working there, just randomly add a zero. Whatever the number's in there, Just add a zero.
No harm, no foul.
Exactly. Because I kept telling her, you're just adding is nothing. You're adding zero. That's it. That's it. But that's almost the scheme, the sort of scheme that we're playing with the economy. The Fed just sort of, or the Federal Reserve or the Treasury just makes dollars out of thin air. It just shows up on a spreadsheet somewhere.
Yeah. Which, it's not even printed money anymore. It's just a spreadsheet.
So how you pay for that, I don't know. But if you just magically forgive a bunch of that stuff, then it's actually deflationary. I mean, it's in a credit system, right? When you take credit, like credit's loaned out and it's just sort of out of, at least today, it's out of thin air. There was a time where banks really cared and it was, they only lent money out.
That they
based
had.
on well, more based true, but also based on the borrower's ability to pay.
Right.
There was more of a, are we going to get this? If we loan this money to Jimmy G, are we going to get this shit back or are we fucked? And if we're fucked, we're not even loaning the money in the first place. And we've gone past that. Right.
Well, so, and credit card companies, they just throw out, it's just, they're on that magic number list. Yeah, we can give you credit. And then even with the people that declare bankruptcy against them, it's not even a blip on their screen. It's not even enough to, okay.
It's a commonplace thing now.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, when currency, you know, getting off the gold standard, having something that's backed by actually something, you know, now it's just backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. And even going the founding fathers, right? This was an argument for, I think it was Madison, maybe Hamilton, I forget, that was arguing for a central bank, but they didn't want to make it like the Bank of England, where it was truly a centralized bank kind of thing. Right. But there was benefits to that and the ability for the nation to grow and get money and get investment from outside countries or to do trade. I mean, there's arguments like this was an argument that they had about having a central bank and having credit and this sort of system that we actually have today, but it's grown so far beyond that. It's, you know, there's, you were going to say something, Nate, you had a thought
I
derailed things.
What else besides gold do you think could be a standard? Because that would be one thing of an administration. It'd be like, okay, the gold standard we really can't go back to. What's something else we can make a standard? That would be, we need to find a financial guru that like gets into like weights and measures and monies or different material besides Bitcoin. As much as, or Bitcoin or crypto or whatever, my problem with crypto is still based on monetary value of other stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the one issue I have. You know, I don't care if
although crypto's gone down in the toilet, so.
If it's gone, if it goes to the dollar, if it goes to the yen, or it goes to whatever, it's still based on whatever currency there is out there. So to me, crypto is maybe a better way to get around a banking system, but it's not better than, what do you think is, I mean,
I don't know, silver is another one, nickel, some of those things. I mean, even lesser metals these days might be something to tie it to.
I
don't know.
My fiance's rocks.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Done. We may need to have like Anthony or there's some other guys I'm thinking of have them on to talk about finance, like more of this deeper systemic.
Right. You know, it's like, I mean, at one time it used to be salt, salt was worth more than gold. It's like, okay, why don't we go to a salt standard? You know, who controls the salt controls the world. You could do
water. And I mean, on one level, does it matter what the thing is? Maybe it is salt. Maybe it's sugar. Like, whatever. I mean, pick a thing.
It's like, pick a thing and base off what that's worth more so than.
But there's so much tied up in our current system that there's going to be so many forces that don't want to upset that apple cart. We'll fight tooth and nail to not upset that apple cart.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a problem that a BR administration would have, is just fighting all the administrative overhead that's just built up over the years. Like, because we'd come in and be more pragmatic. Like, I don't know, there's a movie, Dave, I forget, late 90s or something like that, early 90s, maybe even 80s. I don't know. It's with Kevin Kline. And like the president was ill or fell in a coma, but they wanted to keep it going. So they found a guy who looked exactly like the president working in a used car lot. And they brought him in just to pretend. And it was like the vice president or the chief of staff was the evil guy trying to manipulate this guy, Dave, to do what he wanted, kind of thing, so that this guy could be the shadow president. And there's like a budget discussion where he goes through the budget line by line with his entire cabinet to get to zero. And it's like, well, no, like this is what we do with budgets. But there'd be so much fight against that sort of stuff, because DC is the district is about itself and keep, you know, electing themselves. And then you build your wealth and fortune and power based off of that. So, you know, a lot of things that we would do would tear that shit down.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just think, I could see CJ as president just saying, oh, fuck this shit. Who are you? I'm sorry. You're cut. What do you do again? Like,
you do enough. It says here, last year you gave yourself a raise. I'm going to fire you right now.
I'm sorry. You've been here. Get out of here, old timer. Fuck off. Like,
how old are you again?
Yeah. Some of that too, you could have a conversation with a dude. It's like, young or old, to go, I like you. You're staying. Everyone else is cut.
What? Not Idiocracy. Office Space, the movie, not the TV show.
Yeah.
You need Bob and Bob to go through everyone.
Yeah.
What exactly?
What would you say you do here?
Here. That's what it is. What is it? Do you have it? Okay, we'll take care of it. Have a nice day. There's a door. Here's a cup of coffee. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Here's a box.
Here's a box. Yeah, did you guys know you fired this guy 10 years ago, but we just took care of the problem. You know, how many people in government are still getting a paycheck and they've been dead for like 20 years?
Well, and another thing too is budgeting. There's always like, I always, oh, they're cutting this budget or they're cutting, but the problem is there's always a built-in increase. So it's just the way the US budgeting kind of works. Like there's money, a percentage allocation to every department.
Right.
And so all the discussions, all the arguments are based off of how much percent increase year over year any one department will get. Nobody ever cuts anything. I think a BR administration would be one of the first, if maybe only
to ever start making cuts
that would actually cut shit and say, what are you doing? Is it really effective? Is it really doing? Why are you here? The that Department of Energy question.
Why are you here?
Yeah, the Department of Energy was founded to get, basically, originally in the 70s, to get the United States their dependence on oil, right? To help mitigate that. And guess what? They ain't done jack shit
for
50 years. You were set up to do this. How are you fulfilling that? And are you? And what are you measuring that? Like, how do you know whether or not you're really doing that? Oh, you're not doing that at all? Okay, well, you're all fired. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
And why do you need 10,000 people to do this job?
Yeah, sorts of questions that average Joes would have. Yeah. Like, the three of us could solve all the world's fucking problems.
At the federal level. The federal level, we'll take care of things. See, but this would be another thing that you would have to have a good administration for, and that would really screw up the House and Senate. Would be an audit of all the laws and just go through there and be like, okay, this really should be left up to the states. This one should be left up to the states. This one should be left up to the states or local government. Why are we even, wait, what? How did this law even come about? What do you mean there was a drunk guy tied his horse to a bumper in the middle of Illinois, but yet we have a federal law now that you can't tie horses to the back bumpers of cars because drunk guys drive away and drag the horse? You know, that should be taken care of on a local level.
Sounds like there's a story behind that, Nate. Like, that's almost too that's specific of a thing.
There's a law.
What'd you do to a horse, Nate?
I didn't. But this happened locally not that long ago. A guy a few towns over from me, he rode his horse to the bar, tied it to his buddy's bumper of his car, went in to get some drinks, left with his buddy, forgetting that the horse was bagged there, and ended up dragging the horse down the road.
I knew there had to be a story.
And I so just now
knew it.
Now there's a law that says specific. You can't tie your horse to the back bumper of a vehicle.
That's fucking amazing.
But that's where those laws come from. But to me, that should be a local law. Because who?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's you know, the Constitution.
Does someone
even
in
says,
the middle of New York have horses? Like New York City, do they have horses besides the cops? Is someone riding a horse down to the bar in New York? No. The federal government doesn't need that law. You know, it's do the boys in backcountry Iowa maybe need it? Possibly, but they could do a local law too, you know, or a local fine. But how many laws are on the books that the federal government don't even have your fingers in this? Just start wiping stuff off and give it back to the states.
I don't know that it's even federal law so much as it is federal regulations, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger one. Like, oh, we need to mandate this across everybody. And regulations for business, for health, medical insurance, blah, 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 all the things. I think that's really where we would kind of take a look at things and kind of go, does this make sense? And like I think accountability, right, is part of it too. Would definitely be something that would be important in a that would come through in our administration. And we've kind of joked and talked about it a bunch here, but it's like, why are you here? Like I said, you know, like I said before, it's like what's your purpose? Why are you? Like, why does this department exist, or why does this group within the State Department exist? You know, like your thing about HR stuff. I mean, why does the Pentagon have this department? What, diversity and inclusion? Like, what?
Why?
Whatever. I mean, pick your thing. It could even be a more legitimate thing. Like, why do you have this in this organization, and how are you measuring that to know whether or not you're actually doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing?
It's like, how many programs, groups, whatever, were put in to take care of a thing, and then once that thing was gone, this group just kept on. I think that's my frustration. It's, oh, we rolled them over and gave them this responsibility. Well, did you? You know, or it's like the EPA.
What the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, police officers for the EPA. Wait, what? Huh?
IRS agents.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm curious, just because you're younger, CJ, I'm curious, what, like, is there anything, like, what would you think if you were president or had the power to change things that the,
what would you
whether
think
it's federal or a state, even if you were the governor of a state, like, what is there anything that you would do? Or, I mean, you're younger than us crotchety old men, so
I actually kind of shows my age that I don't really pay attention to that shit. But
no, that's fair.
I know that federally,
that's another reason why I wanted to ask.
Well, I mean, there's only been like a few things I've actually like thought about that would be a great idea. I've never understood why like marijuana is illegal federally. Cause if you look at Colorado and actually like their economy has fucking boomed right after they went legal, they were able to redo all their fucking roads just off the tax money off of weed. That was just one. That's one thing that I've always thought that was kind of really stupid that they'd never federally legalized it, because the money that brings in, and you could get away from drunk drivers and all this shit, but no.
Well, see, but here's my other thing. Mm-hmm. At the federal level, I don't think they should be involved. See, that's what I'm saying. When you take stuff away, they shouldn't federally legalize it.
Well, federally also, they can always, what was it like right when Colorado legalized, if the feds came in and fucking just took everything and just destroyed the places.
Right.
That was the power that I think that you should just take away.
Yes.
Now that's what I'm saying. They should federally legalize it.
Yeah. Yeah. They should be agnostic, federally agnostic. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that there should, the federal level has way too much power. Cause if the state makes a choice, you should let the state play out.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I'm saying they should give those responsibility back to the state, and there shouldn't be anything. You go up to a federal agent and say, hey, those guys are smoking weed over there. I don't care. Yeah. They're not breaking a federal law. I don't care. You need to go talk to your state.
And then I'm also talking federally because DOT is federal.
Now it is. It wasn't always federal, but yes, now it is.
I think a lot of things should be taken away from the federal, like you said. I think that they have way too much power for no fucking reason. The state knows what's best for the state.
Yeah.
In most cases, you can't say anything about California because they're fucking idiots, but that's beside the point.
Or Illinois.
But there's a reason that people are leaving Illinois, California, because the way that they have governed New York, themselves.
But at the same time, too, right? I mean, if that's the way the state wants to go, that's the way the state wants to go. Good on them. We're not doing that here.
People potentially, we're not doing that here. Like they have now. But yeah, I just think that the feds deserve less power.
Yeah, I think something that people tend to forget all the time. The Constitution even says this. Those powers not enumerated in the Constitution are left up to the states, so long as it doesn't infringe, or, you know, I forget the language, but it doesn't impact anything that's already outlined in the Constitution federally. So and that's the way it should go. The reversal of Roe v. Wade, basically the Supreme Court did is push it down to the states. And sure, there are some states that have laws now because of the switch in Roe v. Wade that put restrictions on abortions. And I bring that up. But likewise, though, I think it was Kansas, they voted not to allow the state legislature to put any restrictions and keep the laws on the books as they are, that basically allows abortion anyway. And there are some right-leaning folks that are upset about that, but it's like, but you've been arguing this whole time that it should be a state issue. Now that it's a state issue, just because it's going the way you don't like,
we're going to fight it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like, I'm more for states' rights. I agree with you, CJ, that there should be a lot more allocated to the states and a smaller federal government. Like, the smaller the better, as small as it can get without
I don't even know who the governor of Des Moines
like, and not being able to defend us or do shit.
Well, this kind of goes back to, do you know who your governor is in your city and all that stuff? Shit, it was so hard for me to find the governor of Des Moines. It was so fucking hard. Yeah. I couldn't even just look up governor of Des Moines. It didn't show anything.
The governor or mayor?
Mayor, excuse me.
Okay.
I knew what you meant.
But I wanted to make sure.
Yes, yeah. Mayor. But once you go past that, you can actually start seeing like Kim Reynolds is for Iowa. Well, that's not hard if you live in Iowa. You know that. And then, but you know the president, but like locally, you don't really know it. Like my old town I used to live in, I never knew who the mayor was until after I graduated. I only knew that
but because some of that too is around. Age, right? You kind of don't give a shit because you're just living life.
If you ask, do you know who the mayor is of Omaha?
I actually do.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured
knows him.
But you kind of can't.
It's not known knowledge.
Yeah.
You actually have to look for it.
Yeah. Well, it's focused. Well,
it kind of goes back to what
unless you're the mayor of Chicago, then you're Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah, that's a little. She's scary as hell.
I don't know who told me about Beetlejuice the first time.
Now, I'm never going to not see that.
I know. You look at her, though, and you're like, that's Beetlejuice.
I do, unrelated to this topic, I know we've kind of droned on about it, but I do want to get to at least one, the other thing about money on here.
I think that should be hold off for another one. We should just,
okay, that's
we'll fair. Just stick to administrative in our
I do like, but it's an offshoot, and you brought this up, CJ, the marijuana thing. I do have, there's a couple of things, so a couple of thoughts to that, but and I do have a question more generally for you about that. But first, from a political perspective, I think it will be interesting, or maybe the question to ask is, do you think there's a point at which, like cigarettes, that marijuana, assume for a moment that it's legal federally and many states, maybe not all of them, but a lot of states legalize marijuana. Do you think marijuana will end up going the way of cigarettes and just keep, there'll be taxes that keep going or keep getting increased on them
to a point
where people will stop? I mean, people will always be smoking, but what do you think will happen from a tax perspective? Because I'm curious on that perspective, because I thought the thing with Colorado, I was open to it, but I was more curious what would happen from a tax revenue perspective. Is there a point at which maybe people are too stoned to give a shit, but
or are you talking about the taxes in Illinois? Or are you talking about taxes in Colorado?
Well, just taxes, generally speaking.
Well, the way that they did it in Colorado, I don't know how much they tax it. Don't get me wrong, but I know that the prices there, it's so small because it's so saturated, honestly, that they didn't even have to tax it that much. They just allowed everything. It wasn't like you had to get a medical card. So
even if they taxed it, tax was 10 cents, they're making a shit ton of money.
So saturated there, you can't go two blocks without seeing one. It was so everywhere that they're making money hand over fist. But then you got somebody like Illinois.
Exactly.
They allowed it, but they tax the fuck out of it right away, and people are still going to their drug dealers. It was just so fucking pointless. Why would you tax something so much that people don't buy it? It's really stupid. That's why I've never understood, like, a lot of Illinois laws do not make sense. That's why it's such a shithole.
Exactly. Sorry, Nate. Well, it's Chicago. No, I mean, really, it comes down to
Chicago runs pretty much all Illinois.
Yeah.
Even the rest of the state's not really there. It's just Chicago.
Isn't the capital Springfield?
It is.
What's the cap? Yeah.
Officially, it's Springfield.
Officially. Technically, officially. Chicago,
though. They but, you know, therein lies the problem. And it's like, because they did tax it. If they just went, but it's like.
They tax it like cigarettes, though.
But it's like the, what I'm trying to think of. The lotto was supposed to go to support the schools. Then why is every person in the state of Illinois spending so much money to, you know, like you have this cost and that cost and everything? It's like you got this multi-million dollar freaking lotto that was supposed to pay for this whole system. But yet 3/4 of my taxes for my house is going to the school, not counting all the fees and everything else on top of that. It's like, okay, Illinois' problem is they try to get the biggest bang out of their buck, or, you know, instead of quantity, they're just like, let's just tax the hell out of everything that we can get our hands on. You know,
it's a money, like, more of a money, straight money grab.
Yeah, it's straight money grab, and it's going into pockets, and it never gets to where it needs to go. It's like,
Don't get me started on your fucking tolls.
Yeah. We're not the worst in the country, but we're not far behind. I mean, what was it? Someone was telling me in New York, if they wanted to go to a gym or whatever, it'd cost them 20, like 25, 30 bucks both ways. Chicago's not that bad yet, but it's not far behind.
Those are the most fucking communist bullshit I've ever seen in my life.
But you no longer can go from one side of the Chicago to the other on the expressway system, hardly, and not hit a toll. Even 94 up through the center of Chicago, which I don't suggest anybody take because it's a horrible route, even has tolls on it now. And it used to be 94 was the one, but now right at the top, they got a couple of tolls. It's like, trying to get through Chicagoland without hitting tolls can take you hours. It's doable, but you don't get around easy. But I'm with you on that, CJ. And I drive up there 2 to 3 times a week.
You probably got an iPass, though, don't you?
Yeah, it's all.
How much does that cost a year?
It doesn't cost nothing.
Really?
No, you go order the thing, and then you got to like keep money on it or whatever and all that. And you go through, and it's actually cheaper with the iPass. And for me, not in the truck, but for my own personal one, my iPass thing will work through a whole bunch of toll systems like Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, down south, and it actually works in other states too. So if you look at the whole thing, but
we should have talked about when we went to Utah. They have a couple there.
There
you can't get around. It was so confusing.
Well, the other thing is it's cheaper if you have the little thing. Like it'll be like 75 cents, but if you have to go online, it's $1.50 plus whatever they charge you to, you know, $1.50.
Yeah, you can't figure out what time you go through, and then you just don't pay them, and then you get a $600 bill from the state of Illinois. Yeah, tell me about it.
You got 12 days to pay.
I couldn't the fucking thing that got me, which doesn't make any sense, is what time you went through.
Mm.
You have to know exactly the time that you went through that fucking thing. Like how the, I was driving.
Nope.
It was exactly what time you went through that certain toll, which toll you went through. And if you don't have the right time, it won't fucking work.
Huh?
Maybe for out of towners.
Yeah,
they're screwed.
The first time I figured it out, second time I'm like, I have no fucking clue. So now her mom mails the iPass for us.
Nice.
You know, but you can order your own and they don't cost nothing. You put like 20 bucks on it. That's what I did. I put
nothing, and then you say 20 bucks.
No, you got to have money on there to go through the tolls. And then when money's used, it'll take more out. So you have to put like a $20 deposit down, but that's going toward tolls. And then like every time it hits a certain dollar amount, it hits your account to put more money on there. So you got dead money, but it's money going for if you're driving through the tolls or not. Yeah. So you could throw 20 bucks on there. And then every time you go through, then like if it drops below that 20 bucks, all it does is hit your account, but it still automatically pays. And you don't get no $600 ticket.
Now, I do want to circle back.
Go ahead.
I do have a question more for CJ to get your take on this from the marijuana perspective. And it's not related to the governing or anything like that. But with the advent of legalizing weed, I mean, weed today versus weed when Nate and I were in high school.
Shit, ain't the fucking, talk about when I was in high school.
It's not the even the same fucking thing. So what do you think? What's your take on that? And do you think that there could be some, because the was it HTC, the whatever, THC. Some of those levels are so ridiculous. Could that weed today be more, I don't want to say destructive, but more harmful, I guess, is maybe where I'm going. Then
you're like, saying like
people, when you were in high school, or certainly when Nate and I were high school, where, I mean, it's like oregano, you know, is the equivalent today's weed. I mean, it's do you think, what's your take on that? And do you think that could be more problematic than even weed? What, like, there's always been this worry. Like, I know Nate's mentioned it before on the podcast. And like, when we were kids, smoking weed's a gateway drug to, like, you're going to end your life if you start smoking weed, kind of thing. But the weed today is like a gajillion times stronger. So good fucking night. So I'm just curious what your take is. Like, I wanted to ask. And
are you asking if it's easier to grow a dependency on it?
I'm just wondering generally what your take is.
I got a thought on here, and this might influence CJ a little bit. I almost look at the whole weed debate as concealed carry. Everybody said, like, down in Florida when they were like one of the first states to go with concealed carry or whatever, that everyone's just going to blow everyone away, and next thing you know, everyone's going to be die. Almost the same thing happened with Colorado when they went legal. Oh, they're going to have all this crime, this stuff, everything.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be stoned out of their gourds.
And no one will be able to function.
Well, I mean, it would lead to other things. Like, there'd be negative consequences.
All the negative consequences. Was there a little bit in there? Yeah. But at the same time, yeah, of course.
Homeless people came there just because the weed was legal. So the homeless population skyrocketed. Like, I went there in, what was it, 2014? It was amazing. We were in downtown Denver. We saw two homeless people. Two. We went there right after the riots. Holy fuck. Everything was destroyed. There was tent city everywhere. And now the homeless population is booming out there. It is a problem. It was a lot of people moved out there without a plan. And the thing is, everybody wants to move out there so badly because of weed. They could
Colorado.
They could hike the prices up like fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. That's what they were able to do. That you can raise rent 200% if people are going to pay it. Which, for the fucking people owning those places, I don't blame them. But you're also making everybody work harder. You're making the homeless population go up astronomically. So that's why, if everywhere had it, you wouldn't just have everybody congregating the one fucking spot. Mm-hmm. So it would just be like, okay, it's all good now. Like, we don't have to worry about going out there. And not even weed, wax, all that stuff is so strong. I remember the first time I ever had wax, I was paralyzed. That was from one hit for like a good 2 hours. Me and my buddy were sitting on a couch. The guy that we did it with, he was totally fine because he's been doing it. We're just sitting on the couch like, holy fuck. Like, it was too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do it anymore. And it's just the times that I have, it's just like, I can't handle it. But there are people that, like, I mean, you become accustomed to feeling that way. Yes, you don't get addicted to it. You get addicted to the feeling.
Right.
Weed in itself is not addictive. It's not like nicotine, which, like, you
gotta have it.
Urge for it. You urge for the feeling of being high.
Well, that's true.
And there's a lot of people that function better while they're high, which is weird, but it's very fucking true. I live with one.
Yes. Well, you think about it, if somebody's anxious or has anxiety issues, right?
It calms you out, it mellows you out.
You mellow them out.
There's different kinds, and it helps with like if you have ADHD, it kind of slows everything down. So you can actually have comprehensible thoughts, you can actually focus. And like I said, with drinking, I mean, people still drink. But whenever you're high and you're trying to drink, you don't want to drink as much. You drink for just maybe a drink or two. It's not to get really fucked up. I think that if they've everywhere just legalized it, our drunk driving rates would fucking plummet. A lot less people would be in car accidents. Because if you're high, you don't want to drive.
Yeah, but, I think there's, at least as of right now, there's still a generation. I know, Nate, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think our generation, I mean, that was so hammered in our head, like, smoke weed.
But see, there comes back to my argument of, look at all this concealed carry. Now look at how many states have concealed carry.
It's even constitutional carry.
Yeah. Constitutional. Look how many states across have some kind of carry, and it's not the Wild West and everyone's gunning everyone down. I want to take that same argument, and this would be part of our administration. It'd be like, yeah, I mean, federally, if we got to legalize it to get all the states in line, but it's like, it's one of those. It's like, yeah, all right. That would be
if you can take power. If you can take power away from the cartel,
yeah.
Shit, if you take the power from the cartel,
all part of our
then it doesn't matter, right?
Oh, yeah. back to our administration. If we're going to enact any federal laws, that would be like one would be like all states are allowed to carry guns unless you know. I mean, there's got to be some rules in there. Like, if you're a felon, yeah, we're going to yell at you and you're going to be in trouble. You know, the bad guys aren't supposed to have them. The good guys are type thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we would be enacting. That would be another one. Yeah, we're just going to legalize all of the whole list of stuff that they got, like, on the drug list. See, I'd take it a step further. I would eliminate all the laws on pretty much all the drugs. Like the DEA would be, you know, they wouldn't have much left. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearm. Yeah, ATF would have more to deal with. But like the DEA would be like, we're going to move you guys all over to the ATF or something. Because it's like, just let it go. Because
Does it become a non-problem by legalizing it all?
Yeah.
I mean, you're still always going to statistically. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like a bell curve, right? You're always going to have people on one end that never do it at all and people who do it all the time. But the general populace is going to do it in such a way that isn't detrimental to them or society or to other people or anything like that. So, does it
also legalize sort of a lot of this stuff
and sort of the, you know, some of the taboo of that kind of goes away? So now it's like, well, shit, this is, I mean, it may be fun, but it's not fun.
There, you don't have the rebellion.
That, and also, if you don't have, you know, if it's legal and it's easy to get, you know, actual like real heroin, you're not getting fentanyl in your cocaine.
True.
You don't have as many overdoses of people that shouldn't be dying.
Yeah.
From crap instead stuff.
And you don't have people going to prison for holding that. You get them, you put them on a rehab if they want to go. If they don't, you know, there's Oregon right there.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting too, because, you know, I mean, I truly hadn't thought about the cartel end of it. And then you mentioned fentanyl, and a lot of that comes from China that filters in through Mexico that ultimately ends up killing American citizens just because
you did one bump of cocaine and it's fentanyl. Yeah. You're fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, how much of that would you actually end up minimizing? This is what a BR administration can do for you.
Exactly.
So next election, write in any combination of us and we will represent you. This vast BR nation, get it done. You want to change the country,
Jimmy,
get us president in there. We'll make it happen.
Hey, I think we could do a Jimmy G slogan. That'd be, you know, Jimmy G for president. That has a nice ring to it, you know.
Jimmy G, vote for me.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it. Let's start making it. We got merch. Let's start printing those fuckers up.
Start making buttons.
Yeah. Jimmy G and me.
The only, like, logo in the back is his beard.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Like it,
or me flexing, like
there you go.
There you flexing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know how many Americans are there? They're like, what, 3 billion? No, are we in the 300 million?
Yeah, like 330 million.
330. I think we should make up that many buttons and just send everybody one. That way they're everywhere. You know, everyone's like, what is this? But it just, you know, drug dealers. Hey, look, we got fuck all Biden, the minorities. Fuck
Trump.
We pretty much vote have
Jimmy G.
You know, all the drug dealers are going to be behind us because at first they're not going to realize what we're really doing. The gun people are going to be behind us because they're like, oh, these okay. are pro-gun guys. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, does everyone need a Gatling gun mounted to their freaking truck? No, but if they want to, they can. We're giving
just
out.
Just think, you know what? For the Navy, we'll keep a few aircraft carriers, but we'll just have fleets of those tank boats. Just marauding fleets of those tank boats.
You know, that would be, and you could probably charge for it to work off part of the deficit. How much for a ride on one of those? It's $500 an hour. Do I get all to right. shoot anything? Each bullet is a dollar. So you're saying okay. I pay you $1,000 so I can drive this tank bullet and I get to shoot 500 rounds?
Shots?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sign me up.
So
there'd
cash.
Be a list. We wouldn't have to worry about
there'd be a waiting list and the deficit would go to zero.
It would. It'd be like, here one you go, year,
we
fun.
Just got rid of the whole deficit.
Just by giving tank boat rats.
Letting them shoot. Hey, pirates.
Capitalism at its
nothing.
Finest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and you have a kegger at the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
$5 a head.
Yep. Oh, I bet we could charge more than that.
I mean, it is the people's house.
Hey,
it is.
There are Rangers in the White House.
Oh, man.
I mean, see, these are the things. These are the innovative ideas
yes.
that a BR administration would have. Like,
Bill Clinton thought he got away with a lot. That shit. We would show him up.
They never want us out of office.
Oh,
vote.
Well,
Jimmy
we
G.
just rotate terms. You know, it's all two terms.
Yeah.
So we'll just
each of us take a turn.
Turn. Thanks. Yeah. That you know, that's 24 years right there. We could do a lot. In 24
we could change
years.
The world.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
I like it. So. We had some other questions for tonight, but the way we went with this tonight, I think this was good. We should
this is perfect.
We stayed on topic.
It's a good bar discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's drinking a nice Manhattan while discussing my political future.
It's very fitting.
It's appropriate.
It's better than his celery
gimlet.
Get that celery bullshit out of here.
Yeah.
You know you're going to drink one the next time we're out there.
If you're going to force me, I guess I'll have to.
Be like, I'll take one of those and a shot of something. What's the shot for? Just in case I don't like it.
I got to mention this.
In all honesty, if I made you guys one and if all you had was a sip, that's great. Like, you could pour it all out.
I'd probably slam it if I hated it.
Yeah. Well, fair.
I'm not gonna waste it.
Yeah. If you give me free alcohol, I'm not gonna.
Hey, even if it tastes like shit, fair. I'm just gonna drink fair. It faster.
Yeah. See, and that's also a thing you would get with a BR administration. Right. We wouldn't waste shit. We'd still find a way to use it.
Yep.
We may chug it. We may do something else with it. But we would find, I mean, in that sense, wouldn't that make us green?
I think so.
In some ways? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come
carbon
on.
Carbon footprint all the way down.
Yeah, because we'll have to do a whole bunch of shit for all the tank boat rides we'll be given.
They're electric.
Oh, okay. Are they sail tank boats?
They got a wind turbine on them and everything.
I just get this picture of a sailboat with a couple Walmart fans just trying to
oh man
It'd be a redneck military. That'd be awesome. See the fun you could have with you put us in office. These are kind of the fun ideas that we would come up with.
Yes.
You were gonna say something else, CJ, before CJ went off, or did you forget?
No, after the fair, me and my fiance went to a bar and she's like, get us a shot. I look at her and I'm like, you want me to get us a shot? She's like, yeah, get whatever. She goes to the bathroom, right? She comes back and there's two Jaeger shots, two Jaeger bombs. She's like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, you say you wanted a shot. It's what I like. You usually don't let me order shots, and this is why.
This is just a reminder of why I haven't done this in a while. Yeah.
I still like them. Just nobody else does.
I could do it. I don't have a bad Jaeger experience. I have a bad tequila experience.
But I have enough bad Jaeger experiences, but I still like the taste. I don't get
But it. I can still do tequila shots too, so I guess I'd
exactly.
Yeah.
Just because you had a bad experience doesn't make it bad. It just makes that one night bad.
I don't know. Shots are just, it's like if it's a bad one, you just ask for something else type thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
The worst shot I ever had was well tequila.
That's about as bad as Cuervo Gold.
That's what it was.
Oh, of course.
Oh my god. That was the first time that, like, right when it touched my tongue, instantly.
Well, and that's how we'll leave you with
on that note.
On that note.
Tequila.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarian rhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator. A civilized world.